You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better hold on tight.
And welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football, sponsored by Bad Monkey Popcorn. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. How are you, sir?
Ah, beautiful week in Montreal. Warm, though. My word.
Yeah, it's crazy. I heard what the you know, our fans out in the West are dealing with, you know, the prairie stuff. It's cold, man. It's cold for
Edmonton's getting snow? Like, yeah, what the heck?
I saw that. That's crazy. And
so officially at that point, you just don't complain about the heat. I don't care how hot and humid it gets. Mm-hmm. Put the fan on. Get some air conditioning. I don't care what you got to do, but don't complain. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you don't have to shovel humidity.
No, you don't. And considering that that this year in Montreal, that summer was misspelled. I think it was misspelled. You know, one less M, one less R. That actually makes – that joke makes no sense. But anyways, I'll go with it. It was horrible. We were missing summer. The way that spring ran basically into May and into the beginning of June, to have warm weather like this and to be in shorts through next Tuesday and actually be a day short of having a heat wave, because it has to be three straight days of 30. Don't ask me why I know that. So, you know, for them to cancel the Montreal Marathon because of the heat and humidity, I'll take it any day. But, you know, then we'll go back to normals, obviously, by mid-next week, right?
Absolutely. And what better way to enjoy warm weather than at a football game? That's supposed to be how it's supposed to be, right?
That was the That was the positive. I was actually warm. I couldn't believe how warm I actually was. And I was underneath. I mean, you're wearing your jersey. I was actually hotter than I thought it would be, and I had some water earlier in the day. I didn't think the humidity was that high. I mean, you know, it's bad when the thing you remember the most are the heat and not the first pass, but the second pass by those Canadian Air Force fighter jets. Oh, what! I loved it. I loved it. And screw anybody who complained about it. Screw you.
Yeah, all the pearl clutcher is like, oh my god, this is terrible. It's not terrible. I don't care what. I get so amped for that flyover. It is so cool. Just the noise, just the sheer noise. And to me,
I was disappointed with the first flyby, because it was quiet. It was relatively quiet. But then they come by again after the right before kickoff, and it was like, oh, you can feel it right through your body.
Yeah, and believe me, if that doesn't get you jacked up for a football game, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. Nothing's going to do it, quite frankly.
Oh, I know, and you know, who would have thought that? Unfortunately, it jacked up the wrong team.
Yeah, I mean, Lord knows the Ottawa Redblacks didn't need loud noises to get things excited, because they brought their fans with them. They brought a whole bunch of our nation to Percival Molson Stadium, and let me tell you, folks. It worked, because the Ottawa Redblacks played a heck of a football game. It would have been nice if Montreal Alouettes could have joined them, but
they had any and many and all options, considering Drew Tate started, then Drew Tate went down, and interceptions in the end zone that end up turning into a safety. You know what? Let's get over the bad portions and try to be as positive as possible. Darian Durant became the sixth starting quarterback in CFL history, Cliff, to go 0-for before being pulled. And I thought what was funny is that three of those six, by the way, in CFL history, are Montreal Alouettes. The guy who holds the record is – his name is – and if anybody who knows the Alouettes this well, then I applaud you. Please just send me a tweet or send me something to let me know that you knew this. All the way back in 1964, a quarterback by the name of George Bork He set the league and team mark by going 0-14 before being pulled. October 18th, 1964.
Now, in all fairness, he didn't have a Henry Burris to come and help turn around that football team, so.
No. No, and but the guy who came in after him didn't do that much better either. So I have to look it up now. October.
Well, some days, folks, some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail, right?
Someday you're just hammered.
It was definitely, that's the thing, it was definitely not fun to watch. I mean, we've come to invest so much in Darian Durant, and we've kept being told that this was the way to go, and this was just a bad day for him. And unfortunately, he's had a few bad days while wearing an Alouettes uniform. But, well, it gave Drew Willey a chance to come in and try and impress everybody. And to his credit, Drew Willey did score the one touchdown for the Alouettes.
Yeah. By the way, I think you're going to get a kick out of this. Bork's game that he played in, by the way, back in 1964, was versus the Toronto Argos. And a game seems to be a game very similar to the one that we just experienced this past week. But mind you, it was on the road. The Owls lost 31-10 in that game. And what was the score of our game?
29-11.
Yeah, very, very close. But I digress on that particular game. But yeah, we don't want to beat a dead horse with this. It's we're frustrated. We will give a mulligan to Coach Reed. That's what we can do. It's the first game. It wasn't done on a bye week, was it, like it was last year? It's just, again, I've joked and called us that we are Atlanta Braves fans because of all the of how well we did, and then all of a sudden the team doesn't do well. Something has to give. Something has to give. I mean, it's, you know, all my snarky ass tweets aside and stuff like that during the game, it gives me something. I can razz on my team, but the thing is that I paid the $420 for season tickets, and I've done so for the past 21 years. So it's positive, you know, good or bad, positive or negative, we're just fans, and it just frustrates us, I'm sure. And you'd hear this when the Canadians started off 0-10. You'd hear that right away. But they have 72 games left. You know, once we're 0-10, we got eight. You know, after 10 games, we'd have only eight games left, and it's already a losing season.
Well, that's it. And that's the frustrating part, is we were promised as fans and supporters of this team, all these changes that were made were to win now. Like this wasn't supposed to be a rebuild. And lo and behold, it looks like that's where this is going yet again. We're now back to where we started from the past couple of years. It just seems like it's just constantly reloading, which is very hard for a lot of these fans to take. And I don't blame them, because you've given the Montreal sports landscape winning football for the better part of 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, you're expecting these fans to just smile and go along with losing football. And it's a very bitter pill for a lot of people to swallow. I get it. I don't blame them for being upset. After so many years of watching great football, now all of a sudden we're watching not so great football. Yeah, it's a little hard to swallow. Yeah. I get that completely. But again, it's just one of those things that, what can we do at this point? And I agree. I think we absolutely have to give Cavis Reed as head coach a mulligan for this past Sunday's game, because this was all a very abrupt change. So now it really comes down to, and God help me for saying this, but I really hope the team has a good week of practice. I just don't want to hear about it. Please don't say you had a good week of practice.
Don't say anything. I agree.
I'm just going to assume that you guys are going to have a good week of practice. Please don't say anything.
Well, don't assume anything. Just, we know they practice. That's all we got to know, right? We've seen the pictures online. We know they practice.
Absolutely. So they've got an important divisional game this Saturday against Toronto. Again, a team that, well, until recently, they were looking kind of shaky themselves. But, I mean, something's got to give at this point. So if Montreal wants to just salvage something, anything for the season, they've got to be able to string one or two wins together, at least do something. And a win this Saturday would definitely be a huge, I guess, monkey off your back, so to speak.
But the first thing that they need to do is they need to score in the first quarter. It's very frustrating when the team sets a team record for, you know, the most consecutive, so far the most consecutive first quarters without a single point. It's now at 5. They scored a grand total, I think, of 21 points in the first quarter in these five in this five-game losing streak. It's horrible. Something has to be done. You know, Darian Durant and how he started this week, that's the one positive, Cliff, is that they made the, coach made the change when he felt it was necessary, because Durant looked absolutely horrible out there. He really, really did. You know, it seemed everything was going wrong in this game, including the broadcast, which I don't know if you know about. Anybody who's watching the game knew this. You know, we didn't have the normal play-by-play guys as we normally do for the TSN broadcast, because they were doing it from the studio.
So I heard. It was pretty funny, because again, like, when you're there live, you don't really know what's going on unless you're just having to be scrolling through social media and see what people are talking about. And yeah. I actually had a lot of people say to me, like, hey, what the heck's going on in the game, because we have no play-by-play, we have no feed, we have nothing. I'm like, oh gosh, that's not good. All the more reason, folks, why you have to go to the games when you can.
It was interesting for them to basically do start doing play-by-play through the RDS feed, which is fantastic. And now you and I both know now why it took so damn long on that replay in the first quarter, early in the first quarter, on the fumble that should have been ours, but because I guess the Owls didn't recover the ball quick enough, an immediate recovery. To me, a fumble's a fumble. I don't get that. Anyways, they were using the RDS feed supposedly for the command center in order to figure that out. So it's. Hmm. It was interesting. But it's good to digress. It's back to the game itself. I mean, something just needs to be done. The Owls need to score. That's the main thing. The Owls need to score a first quarter. Let's first get that monkey off their back. Score in the first quarter alone. More than a field goal, please. You know, if you can go down on your first drive this week and look like gangbusters and score a touchdown, it will be a win right there. Because you know it's bad enough when you finish the first quarter, when you finish the first half like they did this past week, and the total yards that you have are less than the SPF for the sunscreen that I was wearing for that game, you know it's a bad game.
There's no question. You look at the offensive output from Montreal, and it was just practically non-existent. I mean, barely any first downs, barely moving the chains. I mean, it's disheartening. I mean, even when Boris Bede finally kicked a field goal, it was just like you got that Bronx cheer, like the, hey, all right.
Yeah, it
was just
they were doing it. Yeah, I know. There were so many sarcastic cheers rising up from the crowd on Sunday. I'm sure it didn't help the players at all.
No, and believe me, the players are definitely frustrated too. And like I said, fans are frustrated, players are frustrated. Everybody who's even mildly associated with the Alouettes is frustrated at what we've been seeing. And it's tough. I mean, because again, everybody wants to lay blame. Everybody wants to lose their minds over this. And I get it. I really do. It's just disheartening to see more than anything else, because like I said, we are used to so much better, and now we have to go through this sort of dark period yet again. And it wouldn't be so bad if there was truly going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, but here we don't really see one. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean it's not great, it's not something to be celebrated, but just the idea that you hope and pray that something better is coming along, and I really hope that's the case. I think Kavis Reed as general manager, I mean, by hook or by crook, this is who the Wettenhall family has chosen to rebuild this organization. And the only thing we can do is hope and pray that he makes the right moves, and eventually they pan out. Eventually the moves that he – like the moves he's made now, you can sort of take or leave, and with the hope that things will get better. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. It's hard – really hard at this point to say that they will, but – we're trying to be positive here. We're trying to hope that something's bound to break, and it could happen just as soon as this Saturday. And if God forbid they could ever get this win on Saturday, it'd be something to build on at least. At least it would sort of give that little bit of hope that, hey, maybe they finally got their act together. Maybe they finally got things figured out, and at least try to finish strong, if nothing else. I mean, I think the playoffs now, I think it's safe to say, is a pipe dream at best.
It's tough with many of the other teams in the West already basically being locked into a crossover. you know, trying to catch Toronto is not going to be easy, especially with all the with all the hurdles that the Owls have just when it comes to head to head, et cetera, et cetera. So it's it'll be tough. It'll be nice, but I don't see it happening. But it'll be tough to. But again, as you said, just get a win. You got to start somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on. Let's talk. We talked about Steve last week, and let's go ahead and talk about him. It's Steve from Piffle's podcast. He was here. It was great meeting him. I didn't get to spend as much time talking with him as I wanted to, as I wasn't able to join you guys on Monday, because I know he was here for a day to do the touristy thing. But props. You know, guy does three games in 3 days. That's cool in itself.
Yeah, and he was very happy to not only meet you and I, or re-meet me again, but spend a little bit of time with us and spend time with just the people in Montreal and with the Our Nation fans that made it as well, because there's a lot of them on Twitter that he goes back and forth with as well. So he was very excited about that. And he'd said to me during the game, he said, you know, of the three games I went to, like, this one has the best atmosphere. Like, this stadium is electric. I mean, it was just stoked to be there. Yeah. And I'll say that Steve was very fortunate to be able to come on a Sunday, because that's when the stadium is almost sold out. And as I've said numerous times, when this stadium, it's one of the smallest in the Canadian Football League, but when it's nearly packed like it has been this past Sunday, and everybody's loud and everybody's rocking, when things are going good, there's no better place to watch a football game. I mean, you can, like I said, I have no doubt that New Mosaic Stadium is pretty awesome, and they're a lot bigger and built for sound and all that jazz. But I'll tell you what, Percival Molson Stadium, as far as, again, I'm terribly biased when I say this, but
yeah,
there's just, to me, no better place to watch a football game. And Steve even admitted, like, this is awesome. To have the tailgate experience that you guys have here in Montreal, I would kill to have that in Regina. But just the overall atmosphere and everything like that, like, Steve came away very impressed. And when you're impressing Riders fans with just how well you're putting things together, that's a positive in and of itself. So, I mean, Montreal's got to definitely build on that and just keep that whole party atmosphere, that whole excitement, the buzz for football. Mm-hmm. They got to be able to build on that. Like, and listen, Sundays are for football. There's no question about that. I think this past Sunday, if nothing else, proved it.
Oh, the weather was perfect. I got to the game early. It was Tackle Hunger Day. Kudos to everybody who was able to come out and give, whether it be money or canned goods. What was the final tally for the Owls? I'm trying to remember how much they came, how many pounds they came up with. I'd have to check on the Pure Later website, but I know I think we were higher than poor BC at the lowest so far this year. But they always do well at West too, though. That's the funny thing. They always do well at West.
I don't think anyone's going to be touching Hamilton with their 170,000 pounds they raised.
Really?
Well, don't forget, it was during Labor Day, too, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, that kind of helps the cause as well, because you also have everybody coming in from Toronto and all that. So, I mean, it's...
I know Edmonton had 141,000 pounds.
Mm.
And that was August 25th. The numbers, I'd have to go back and check the Owls. But, you know, either way, whatever the number was, kudos. You got a picture with the Grey Cup. I hadn't done that in a couple of years. The weather was perfect. Seeing the flyby, one of the coolest things, because it was such a clear day, Cliff, and I know you noticed this, too, when they first came by, right after they sang the national anthem, you're able to see the shadow of the two F-18s.
Yep.
Go over the stadium. That was so cool. Just seeing the shadows of the two fighter planes come by like that was really, really cool. But yeah, you know, props to everybody. The crowd was really into it. Obviously, we wished for a better outcome. But you're right about Sundays. Sundays are. To me, when it comes to Alouette home games, are the best. Speaking of days or the week for games, and we know we had talked about the survey that was done by the team a few weeks ago, and we're hoping to have something in the near future on being able to talk about that and some other stuff. But we'll let you know if that does come to fruition. Something that was sort of lost in the French media. And I don't know if it is because Herb Zerkowski of the Gazette didn't hear it, didn't understand the question, But it was what was very interesting to me, and I know we've talked about this before in the past when we're talking about the survey, so we don't want to go into it too much into detail. But President Boava at the annual golf tournament that the Owls had before Chapdelaine was fired, President Boava actually stated that the team is actually studying the idea to schedule all home games on Thursdays next season. I was actually taken aback by that. this is a team, the Alouettes, since 1996, and they've come back, have had 56 home Thursday games, which is by and far the most in the league. The second closest team is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at 36, and the team that has had the least amount of them is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I honestly think that doing this is the wrong thing to do. And I President Boava is saying, well, okay, well, we want to make it sort of like hockey night in Canada with the Canadians on Saturday nights. No. Thursdays, as far as I'm concerned, is for U-sports games, football games, and maybe pee-wee football. I couldn't think of anything else. I understand that the team may be mandated to have a certain amount of Thursday television game, whether it be home or away. I get that. But in my opinion, and that's why I'm hoping we can find out more about this, about what the survey results were. Doing this, I think, Cliff, would be a huge detriment to the team. It would be a huge detriment to the fan base, and it would be a huge detriment to season tickets.
So that's your opinion, is that it's not a good thing?
No, I think Thursday games are not the way to follow Thursday games. You cannot get rid of the games after Labor Day on the weekends. This year we had the least amount of Sunday home games, I think in 3 years. You need to have more. If your fans state, if they state, and yes, we do not know the information, but if they stated in that survey that they'd rather have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday games, listen to your fan base. If you go this 1 year and you do all Thursday games and you alienate your fans enough, right now the team's having enough problems with drawing fans. You know, we did some quick checking here, Cliff. From 2011 on, since we've had the new stadium, we had 19 Thursday home games and 21 Sunday home games at Percival Molson. I'm not going to count the two games that were played at the Big O because it's misleading. It's clear that Sunday games at Molson outdraw better. The 21 home games, they've averaged 22,500. Thursday games, 21,000, just over 21,000. But it's misleading because if you look at them, Cliff, in all the years, in the years since 2011, less 2014. Oh, by the way, there wasn't a single Thursday home game in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
They have gone down almost every year in attendance, the average attendance.
Well, numbers don't lie. I mean, you and I have talked about this all season, and we're actually in the stands for these Thursday games, and we're not seeing the 23,000 that the stadium can hold. We're not seeing 23,000 butts in the seats. We're seeing 18,000. So that's not the best at math, but that's like 5,000 empty seats.
Yeah. Yeah. From 2011 until now, it's about give or take. Yeah.
So for the president of this organization to suggest that making Thursday like essentially the CFL's equivalent of Hockey Night in Canada, I don't know if he's actually been to any of our home games this season to have seen that a lot of people just aren't into the Thursday night football. Surely he had to have been at this past Sunday's game where it was 22,000, like nearly sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's with all the turmoil that just happened the past week, like getting rid of the Francophone head coach, which was, if you ask a lot of the French media, the most important thing to have. Got rid of that, so everybody should be losing their mind over that. But despite all that, and again, sure, our nation did buy up quite a few seats, but I mean they had 200 folks, so 22,200 people. So okay, so that means 22,000 people from Montreal that came to see the Alouettes play.
Right.
To me, that says people still give a rat's ass about this football team and still want to see it, but they clearly don't want to see it on Thursday nights. I mean, I'm just going strictly by numbers, and I get why Patrick Vaughn may want to explore this idea, but I hope that's all he does is just consider it, like just kind of take a look and like, oh, okay, that's something, and then that's it. Like, not actually pursue it and actually put it into place, because I'll tell you right now, I don't know how good your French is, Tim, but do you know what the expression pète la coche means?
No, I don't.
Well, a lot of our Francophone Alouettes fan base that you'll find on social media, that's exactly what they did. And the loose translation is lose their mind. That's a cleaned up way of putting it, is right. They lost their mind at just the mere idea, the suggestion that the Alouettes would consider going to all Thursday night home games. Right away, a lot of folks had said, well, you'd lose me as a season ticket holder. I would never come to Alouettes games again. It just, everything, like, just, they were flat out mad. I'm trying to be as clean as possible. That they were not receptive to the idea whatsoever. Now, you can always say, like, this just represents a small portion of the fan base. But you know what? If you're that passionate enough that you're going to go on social media and be upset about this, you clearly care. That's right. What fans do. They care about the product. And at the end of the day, it's the fans that are, as I always say, they buy the tickets, they buy the merch, they invest in the team. And if you make it impossible for them to invest in the team, then, well, you're going to end up with 18,000 fans. And if this trend continues, like you said, it keeps going downwards. It's not going upwards. It's going downwards. And you keep trying to foist all these ideas, like these whiteout games, and trying to make them into an event. And that's not working either. Is it a weird coincidence that all these whiteout games that haven't been very well attended and haven't had the success that the people in the organization has hoped for? I'm sure it's not just a coincidence that they all happen to be on Thursday nights, correct?
Right, I think so.
Yeah. During the summer? Like, we've never seen a whiteout game, say, on a Sunday afternoon in October, have we?
I am looking right now as we speak.
I'll tell you right now, we haven't, because I've got a pretty good memory when it comes to these quote-unquote special events, and not once have I seen a whiteout game or a blueout or any sort of thing like that, any sort of thing that would come even close. Could you imagine if they decided to make this past Sunday's game the whiteout game?
Well, to be fair, Cliff, the whiteout games, we have had some in October, and they've fallen on the Thanksgiving Day games. We've had three. We've actually had three of the seven fall in October.
Okay. But my point is, the idea that you want to promote this event is all well and good.
Right.
But the fact that the lion's share of these games happen on a Thursday night where attendance is waning, it really doesn't have that same effect. So now you're just exploring the idea of having all of your games played on Thursday nights. I have a lot of doubts. Let's put it that way. And I'm not the only one. You and I are not very receptive to the idea. And I can tell you right now, there's a whole bunch of fans, both French and English, so like it has nothing to do with language, has nothing to do with any of that nonsense. You just talk about pure Alouettes fans that hear this news and are losing their collective minds over it. They're in a lather over this. I really, truly hope everybody's listening. And you can take that phrase for what it is.
Well said. It's well said. I mean, it's... Anyways, we hope to get some information, if possible, on what the team may be looking at doing and stuff like that, something that we're currently working on. Looking for something different from your snacks? Grab a bag of Bad Monkey Popcorn. Bad Monkey Popcorn is produced locally in Montreal in a number of mouthwatering flavors that will have your taste buds wanting more after just one kernel. Now available throughout Quebec in most major grocery stores, independent outlets, and selected cities across Canada. For more information, head to badmonkeypopcorn.com.
Hey folks, we appreciate your continued support of the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. You can find all of our previous episodes over on Podbean. Just head to alouettesflightdeck.podbean.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play Music by searching the keywords Alouettes Flight Deck. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @AlouettesFLDeck. And check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/AlouettesFlightDeck. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show, you can shoot us an email, alouettespodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening.
If anybody hasn't, you know, if sure as you're following, you know, every day, every week, there is a every home game, there the Red Zone usually has a special at the stadium. Like this past week, they had a special on the on a throwback cap for $10. $10 taxes in, dude. $10 taxes in. That's amazing. But I think something. I think it's the second time or the first. I'm trying to remember because I know it usually happens at the end of season. But the Owls warehouse is going to be having a pop up shop coming this Saturday. Okay, so this Saturday, the 23rd, from 12 to 5 at their location on is on. Did I close the page? No.
530 St. Patrick Street.
Thank you. Suite 160. So it's very it's LaSalle, basically, right? Very close to being LaSalle.
Close enough, yeah.
Close enough. And they are promising to have some specials. They are promising to have some exclusive discounts and gifts on site. And it says, don't miss the chance to get the coolest Alouettes gear at a reduced price.
No. Yeah, and the great thing about this, folks, is you go to this sale, it's from 12 to 5, get your hands on some really cool merch, and you're not going to miss this Saturday's game either because the game starts at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
It's going to be in Toronto, so not you're missing the game at home. Like, you get a chance to go check out all the cool stuff that they have for sale for the Alouettes, buy up a whole bunch of stuff, and guess what? You come home, you watch the football game, God willing, the Alouettes get it together, they have a great win, and you just got yourself some really cool swag in the process.
Now
how great is that?
I know. Now, to be fair, I did miss out the sale earlier in the year on the jerseys. Maybe if the discount is good enough, I will finally, Cliff, get that new Alouettes jersey with Flight Deck on the back.
Oof, there you go. I mean, I really hope they can do custom jerseys then, because I'm telling you right now.
I know Piffles can. Piffles did. I saw theirs. It was quite nice.
There you go. So, I mean, like I said, they haven't given us a whole lot of details as to what all is going to be on sale and what they're going to have. But yeah, if they're going to be moving jerseys, I'm telling you, I think we got to take advantage of this, Tim.
They tell you. Yeah. Maybe it's too bad we can't. You've seen some of those ones where you have a parent of two ball players who are on two different teams that are playing in the same World Series game where they make those jerseys that are half home, half away.
Oh, yeah.
You should get that done.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sew, though. Can you sew? I can't sew.
I'd get my mom to do that.
I am wondering if they're about to release, because they're talking about some merch that hasn't been seen, or it's new new collections, they called it. I'm wondering if they're coming out with some of their winter stuff, because I've seen some of their toques and stuff like that they've already released. Maybe don't need it in 30 degree weather, but still maybe.
Yeah, you wouldn't think to be buying a toque in this weather, especially humid as it's going to be. But winter is coming, folks.
If it's a good enough price and I'm able to use my 20% off from being a season ticket holder, hey, all the better, all the better. So.
And you know what? The Grey Cup's going to be in Ottawa this year. It's going to be a little chilly. I mean, if you want to go and represent your team, why not get yourself stocked up and do it at a significant discount? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So check it out if you have the time to head over there on Saturday. What else? I wasn't able to see much of it, but I hear it was actually absolutely an amazing performance. I don't know if it's performance. It was an amazing ceremony, the Hall of Fame ceremony and the inductions that was done this past Thursday in Hamilton. It was from what I saw of the AC speech, absolutely amazing. The guy is, first and foremost, I'm glad he was there. I think he got the nod from Kavis Reed to go and basically say, dude, I think we talked about this. On our special podcast last week, that he needed to go. Once in a lifetime thing. You know, it's like having your number, his number retired in Montreal. Mm-hmm. This, you're never going to be, again, inducted into a Hall of Fame, Canadian Football Hall of Fame. He had to show up.
Yeah, and I actually think that I'm fairly confident that the Wetton Hall family pretty much forced him onto the plane to go and say, listen, you... go. This is your night. And let's face it, Anthony Calvillo deserves this. And kudos to him for wanting to think of the team and be more focused on preparing for the game itself. But you know, at the end of the day, if anyone deserves to be selfish and think about themselves, if just for one day, it definitely is Anthony freaking Calvillo. And there's just no way, no possible way anyone would have allowed for him to not go to this ceremony. I mean, he did get a chance to participate in the entire Hall of Fame weekend like everyone should have, but it is what it is. And at least he was able to go do the induction. He got to put on the jacket, see his bust and everything like that. And I'm just really happy that at the end of the day, he did end up going. And yeah, he had a fantastic speech. Everything was really well done. And so glad to be able to say that both Anthony Calvillo and Ben Cahoon not only have their numbers retired by the Alouettes, but they're officially recognized by the Canadian Football Hall of Fame as being members now. It's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, in a perfect world, they would have gone in together, would have done everything together, because that's just the way they were. But at the end, all that matters is both AC and Ben are in the hall. They both have their jerseys retired, and they're both bona fide legends within this organization and the Canadian Football League.
I'm trying to remember if anybody who would be the next Alouette to go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, yeah, okay, Nick Lewis, yes, but most likely he would go in. You know, not like baseball. I'm sure it would be a Calgary Stampeder if that were the case. I know they don't go by teams; they go by your entire career in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame.
Right, because by that token, it was actually kind of funny. A few folks on Twitter this past Thursday were like, congratulations to the all-time great Las Vegas posse, Anthony Calvillo. And technically, that's true. You can't deny it. There's no question he's the only true member of the Las Vegas posse that will be in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame.
That's true. Somebody actually brought it up on Twitter. I think you saw it too. Somebody basically said, so with AC going into the Hall of Fame, does that now close the door on a player from every single CFL USA team? And I was trying to do the math, and did everybody have one? I mean, sure. I think the one that I wasn't really sure about was it Shreveport? No, Shreveport was Azuma's OKK.
Yep.
What was the one that I wasn't sure about? It was Sacramento. Sacramento and San Antonio. Yes, they were technically the same team, but Michael Pringle is in the Hall of Fame, and he was technically a part. You know, he was a gold miner, and he was a Baltimore Stallion. Hmm? So I was like, do I really want to conclude that? But, you know, I guess for closure's sake... I guess so, because I couldn't think of anybody else specifically who was playing for the San Antonio Texans, if there was anybody else on that roster for 1 year who was worthy. But either way, cool nonetheless for somebody to actually bring that up and to think about that, because I never would have even thought about that. So, by the looks of it, it is currently available. If you happen to miss it, just do a search for Canadian Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and it looks like the full broadcast is currently available over on the CFL website. So kudos to them for getting that up and getting that available for anybody who wanted to watch it. So anything else we want to talk about, whether it be league related or whatever, before we go into the game this week and finish up this week?
Well, we talk about the fact that the Alouettes on Sunday, in the midst of everything that was going on and to the game itself, the news was announced that two coaches have been hired by the team to replace, some of the coaches that have left.
That's right.
As you know, of course, Jacques Chapdelaine, Noel Thorpe, and now apparently Justin Chapdelaine are no longer with the team. So there's had to do some wiggling and jigging around, and now, just like they did back in 2014, some consultants have now been brought in to help sort of steer the ship.
It's funny, we mentioned we mentioned one just last week, wondering what if, didn't we?
We sure did.
Yeah, and in Garcia. So
Yeah, 2014, Jeff Garcia was brought in as a quote-unquote offensive consultant and ended up working with the quarterbacks, and that actually turned out okay because, yeah, he managed to get both Jonathan Crompton and Tanner Marsh playing some really decent football. And I'm guessing maybe Kavis is hoping lightning will strike twice in the sense, and he brought in a couple of people that he knows pretty well, with the hopes that, one, the defensive line will get a little bit better, and two, the offense. You'll be able to help out AC with his offensive play calling by having another, quote-unquote, offensive consultant.
Right, and you didn't name him. And who is it?
That would be Ken Miller, former head coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who Alouettes fans will remember from 2009 and 2010 because it was Ken Miller who was the coach for the Riders that the Alouettes beat twice in those Grey Cup games.
That's right.
When Darian Durant was the quarterback and Kavis Reid was part of the Saskatchewan Roughriders as well. So we're seeing this bit of a trend here. We're seeing a lot of former Saskatchewan Roughriders from 2009-2010 as part of the Montreal Alouettes. So I guess take from that what you will, but I mean, let's face it, like this group of people were good enough at one point to get a football team to a championship, so they must know a thing or two about winning. So I guess that's the hope, is to maybe try to recapture some of that old magic and impart that onto this current Alouettes organization.
Right, and with Coach Quick moving up to the defensive coordinator, the Alouettes went ahead and brought in somebody else to coach the defensive line, didn't he?
They did. They brought in former coach Kit Lathrop, who will be coaching the defensive line, as Jason Hogan is now going to be moving from defense to offense. He'll be working with the receivers now that Justin Chaptolet has decided to leave the team, just like his father did. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of wiggling, jigging around, but Lathrop is a very experienced coach as well. He's been coaching for 16 years, does have a Super Bowl ring, did help the Washington football team win a championship, and he also has a lot of civil experience as well, with stops in Ottawa with the Renegades, BC, Edmonton, and Toronto.
Okay. So we'll see if the guys make a difference, because I think obviously they came in late, and I think they were on the sideline this past week, but I mean it was just a at the last moment type of thing, I think, right?
I'm not entirely sure. I honestly didn't see them, but I also wasn't really looking for them. And as we said, I think you almost have to sort of look at the on-field performance of the Alouettes and just sort of, like you said, give them a mulligan. Like, just pretend this game didn't happen. And Lord knows we'd love to.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens this week. Let's see just how they prepare for this coming Saturday. And I think that's going to tell the tale. And I think that ultimately will be the season right there and then, because now Ken Miller has had a chance to be in Montreal, to work with AC, to work with the offense. And let's just see what happens. I mean, I think at this point, this is all we can really hope for as those who support the Alouettes, is can all these thinking coaches, can all these football minds come together and actually make something happen. I think at the end of the day, that's all we want. It's just something, anything positive to happen. That's all. I think Alouettes fans have been through so much this season.
Yeah.
At the end, all we really want is just something positive. If we just get that one win, just something to build on. Like when Hamilton finally got their first win on Labor Day, that started something, because that built up a little momentum. They got them going, and then they beat Ottawa in Ottawa. And okay, I mean, it doesn't mean they were going to go on a run necessarily, and they kind of came crashing back down to earth playing the Riders. But at least it was something. It sparked something. So, and that's all we really want. It's just a little spark, a little something that says, "Hey, we're not dead yet." And I think that's really all we want. It's just a sign of life from this Alouettes football team. I really don't think that's too much to ask. I think the players want it just as bad as the fans do. So, I mean, I just hope this week they just get it together, they figure it out, and just at least put in an admirable effort. Like, don't go into BMO Field and hope and pray for a pick six, and those are the only points you're going to score. I just want to see a good, solid effort from this team. I really don't think that's too much to ask.
No, I don't either. And speaking of the game, as you said, it's going to be on Thursday. Sorry, it's on Saturday. Lord, get your days right. Saturday at 7 p.m. And what I actually found interesting, Cliff, you know, we talk about the lines each week, and you know, considering how bad that the Alouettes are doing, it's funny. It's not being represented with the bookmakers in any way, shape, or form. Toronto is favored, you know, no surprise there. But Toronto is only favored by 6.5 points. It's gone down a full point since the initial line was put out. So 6.5 points with an over under only of 47 points.
Yeah, I don't get these odds makers myself. I freely admit I'm not much of a gambler, so that's
no me
that
neither.
Could explain it. But yeah, I don't know, because again, you take a look at what Toronto has, and can we honestly truly say that they're really not so good or not so bad? I mean, I really get that middle of the pack feeling with them, because they played an absolutely fantastic game against Edmonton this past Saturday.
I know.
And
yeah, they did.
But they almost let it slip through their fingers. That's the other thing too. I mean, Edmonton right now is in a bit of a tailspin, having lost they've won their first 7 games, but lost their last 5 games. So they're really right now looking to they got to get their act together
I know the guys are the Eskimos Empire. As I said, they had their therapy session this week. We need one too.
Thing that Edmonton is doing though is they're restocking. Like they just got Aaron Grimes back from the NFL, and for a team that's been so beset by injuries this season, to be able to have some guys come back, and people that were on their 6-game list are now starting to come back as well. Like this is a team that is loading up, and they're at least, if nothing else, proving that their season's not over yet. So I really hope and pray that the Alouettes kind of take that example as well, as to say, like, listen, it's been rough. It's been a rough turn, because the Alouettes too are going through a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, it's got to end. I mean, I'm just hoping it's not going to be when Edmonton comes to town for Thanksgiving and plays us, because at that point, they'd be like, well, someone's got to win. But in all seriousness, I really hope both franchises just turn things around, and their fans deserve that much. Right. Edmonton's fans deserve better. Alouettes fans deserve better. I just really want to see something happen. That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, is something's got to give with our team anyways, with the Alouettes. And let's hope and pray that whatever the hell's going on with Darian Durant, he shakes it off and comes out flying, comes out slinging the ball downfield. Yeah, let's hope AC gives him some really great plays that just take advantage of everything he can do and take advantage of the weapons he has at his disposal, because he's playing an Argos team that has the potential to be really outstanding as well, especially on defense. I mean, they make plays happen as well, but I'll still say we've got some outstanding playmakers. We've got Ernest Jackson. We've got Nick Lewis. We've got BJ Cunningham. You've got a great running back in Terrell Sutton, who is champing at the bit to do something. Give him the ball. It's like, if you really aren't feeling it when it comes to throwing the ball, hand it off to Sutton, because my word, this kid is just this past Sunday, you could see the fire in his eyes. He is desperate, desperate to do something. I mean, if you were to put Tyrell Sutton on another team, he'd be all over the place. So Montreal has this absolutely fantastic weapon, and it's not getting used. You've got to take whatever block you have on Tyrell Sutton, you got to take it off and let the kid run, because he will produce. You got to find a way to get this guy into the game. I don't care how.
Yeah.
Like 6 carries is not going to do anything for this guy, especially when they're only 2-3 yards apiece.
No, the Owls have gone one-dimensional because of all the current issues that they've been having on offense, and it really is frustrating, considering that he is such a good running back. So he's being underutilized by easily. And don't let his numbers this past week mislead you, because most of it was on one run. You know, he still needs to be utilized a little bit more than he has. But, you know, with us being so far back after the first quarter, and even at halftime, you know, it is what it is. So it's something has to be done. By the way, Cliff, something's just been handed to me. It looks like we have no information on it, but it looks like tomorrow. So tomorrow would be Thursday the 22nd. Thursday the 22nd, looks like the CFL is going to be releasing something on the digital front tomorrow around 12 noon Eastern time. Don't know what it is. If we can get any more information before it happens to come out, we will let you guys know. If we find it at that time, we'll make sure that we do tweet it out on all of our social media channels. But just was handed to me. I wanted to make sure that I let everybody know what the CFL is going to be planning something for tomorrow, and to stay tuned. Could be interesting. You know, we talk about digital stuff. They've had quite a few things this year when it comes to digital from all the different
bring it in campaign.
Yeah, all the different campaigns, and then there the Twitter emojis that came out last week, and one thing you can't say about the CFL is that they know what they're doing when it comes to the digital front, and social media. They know what they're doing, so it's they're not a league that underutilizes digital media. So
no, and it's all about getting the fans involved too, and that's what's so wonderful about being a CFL fan is you really do get the feeling that the league does listen. Mm-hmm. They may not understand it. You may not understand every move that's made, whether it's by your team or by the league in general. And Lord knows there's more than enough things to critique when it comes to the league overall. But every now and again, stuff will come along and you're like, yeah, that's it. That's it right there is why I support not just my team, but also the league as a whole. And more often than not, the CFL knocks it out of the park. So I'm really excited to see what the CFL is going to be debuting tomorrow, because at the end of the day, it's all about the fans as far as this league is concerned. And the fact that they want to get the fans involved and excited and get them – they engage the fans. And that's what makes it great, is that it almost feels like we all buy into this league. You know what I mean? Like, it's, they get you excited about something. And when they do something – it's not half-assed. Like, they want you to be a part of it, and it blows right up. And everybody jumps in with it, and they get excited about it as well. So, like I said, I'm really curious to see what it is. Because, I mean, I haven't seen any sort of rumblings about it, or I haven't seen anything else being reported. So I'm really curious to see what the CFL has in store for all of us.
Yep, should be cool. Should be cool. So don't forget, the game is on TSN, RDS, and on radio, both in English and French, too. So all we can do is, you know, just sit here and pray for a win, you know, fingers crossed. And it all starts with scoring some points in the first quarter. Let's break that streak, and let's break the others, and let's make it at least let this game versus Toronto be a competitive game. That's all we can hope for, right, Cliff?
Yeah, and also too, I mean, if Montreal is able to somehow find a way to get that win, it'll be their first road win of 2017. I mean, Who would have saw that coming? The fact that it's taken this long to even think about possibly getting a road win. I mean, yeah, something's got to give. Yeah, there's no question about that.
Many different offers that we have so far this year that can't be broken in Toronto. And it's just, as I said, just think positive, and that's all we can really do. That's all we can really do, and hope the guys do this. So we will talk to you guys again next week. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.